1.
There is another world that awaits, far beyond what we can see and feel. A place that's anything but ordinary, somewhere between abnormal and paranormal.
What you believe might not be. Step into the zone of the best unknown. UFOs, aliens, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracies and cover-ups. Into the paranormal we go.
From the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, I am Jeremy Scott. Boy, what to make of the UAP hearing? I took some time before doing an immediate reaction episode to the hearing because I wanted to check into a few things and read, you know, not the tea leaves, but get a sense. Get a sense of what others are thinking out there, not because I want to, you know, copy what they have to say, but I want to test a theory now and again. And the way to do that is to just give it some time and to see what happens. And I'm open to the possibility that this was entirely staged. Let me repeat that. I am open to the possibility that the UAP hearing on Wednesday was entirely staged. Now, that's not to say Mr. Graves and Mr. Grush and Mr. Fravor, who I highly compliment, were in on this, but there's definitely a psychological operation going on here, in my opinion. You heard some names mentioned within that press conference, but there were some individuals present as well for it, which should be a little bit surprising. If you know your history and politics, which this has become a political issue, although it's a bipartisan political issue because you have people on both sides of it, no matter their party, you know, we can agree on this topic. And I'm glad that that is happening, that people are putting their politics aside and letting their gut tell them what's going on. What I'm alluding to is the fact that this could be an entire staged operation in which to give us hope to carry on, to not revolt, to not call for these people to be taken out of office due to incompetence, to riot in the streets, whatever the case happens to be. Look, we know the reality in which we face. It's very apparent, that reality. It's just being covered up on a massive, massive scale. And an individual was present in yesterday's proceedings, who just happens to be a retired lieutenant general in the Air Force, former director of national intelligence, has held key positions in the intelligence community, former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, first director of defense intelligence within the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. And much like David Grush, was involved in the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, although I don't think during the time that Mr. Grush was present, was nominated by President Obama to serve as U.S. Director of National Intelligence. Later retired at the end of that administration. I'm talking about James Clapper, who may or who may not have lied before Congress. It depends on who you believe. Definitely there was a misstatement made, whether you buy his explanation that he thought that he was being asked about something completely different. So, I don't know, a couple of intelligence officers. Is it too much to say that there could be a psychological operation going on and that they could be part of it? Now, let me say this. As I said previously, huge, momentous proceedings happened with this UAP hearing. Because on the official government record, under oath, penalty of perjury and everything else, there is an official record now of the reality of unidentified flying objects, or UAP as they're now known. The possible retrieval of crashed objects and perhaps the possession of alien bodies. I mean, this is a day that I didn't think I would ever live to see. I have been quite critical of the UAP hearings over the last 2 years. The first one was better than the second one. The third one was by far better than both of them combined because it included credible witnesses. David Grush, you heard him say, and he's the whistleblower, he did everything in his power to corroborate the information, believes that these are credible individuals. But who's to say that he is not even aware? You know, the allegations are that this is operating without the control or even the know-how of Congress. And it's a shadow government who is operating this, an elite. Therefore, it's total black ops, you know. It's funded privately. And if you don't know that something exists, how can you regulate it? If our Congress doesn't even know that there's this shadow group in existence who is operating these programs, it's pretty hard to take action. And they're doing a pretty good job of keeping it hidden and making you wonder who's part of the scheme and who's not. But I tend to think now that there are some disinformation agents who are posing as real contributors to this subject and have been doing so for decades. And I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I might have to answer to these allegations in a court of law. But there are some individuals, including names already mentioned in this episode, and others who may or may not have been situated next to each other, right behind these witnesses in the first row. So if that helps narrow it down, I think you can catch my drift. I mean, let's be honest. If talk show host Jeremy Scott was approached by the government and told, hey, we're going to give you access to all of this. You just have to spin it. If I had to sign anything, if I was going to be held to any sort of standard or held in contempt, I would turn around and walk the other way. I don't care how much information I would glean from having secret access. That, my friends, does not matter to me one bit. What matters to me is integrity. It matters to me that I have credibility. And it matters that I'm not bought and paid for. I'm going to do my absolute best to never get sucked in by the wrong crowd. It's happened to better men than me, though. But I will resist it at all temptations. Not that I'm special. Not that I would ever be considered for such a thing. But if there was a possibility that that came to be, I would resist it at every temptation. I'm going to tell the audience exactly the way I see it. I'll always tell them exactly the way I see it. And nobody is going to tell me otherwise. They're going to have to take me out before I will, or threaten me. Take stuff from me. Before I would ever find myself backed against a wall in which to cooperate. I'm not playing along here, basically. So, what do I think about the hearing? Well, let me step back to May of 2022. I thought that was an okay introduction to the topic. Although it still had nobody who had experienced any of this phenomena in which they spoke about. And you had an official denial of a well-known event in the Malmstrom event that had just been presented only months prior, and yet was just ignored. And there were other things that they claimed to not know. But okay, it was a decent start. And then we backpedaled. April of this year, we needed more meat. I'm not saying Sean Kirkpatrick was not good meat, but we needed more. We needed another kind of meat. It just was not, didn't have enough substance to me. And again, nobody who's witnessed a thing, just procedural questions. And the questions were actually way worse. At least with the first hearing, you had individuals like Adam Schiff, Andre Carson, Mike Gallagher, asking coherent questions that made sense given the discussion that was taking place. The second go-round, I mean, thank Kirsten Gillibrand for what she's done for ufology through the bills and the funding and putting people on the carpet and making sure that Arrow is fully funded. But my goodness, it's like it was so elementary. It was painful to listen to. It was readily apparent that they were not listening to what was being said. And their questions, they sucked. There was no follow-up. And the questions were just so grade school that it just didn't, it didn't help the process. So then we have Mr. Grush making the allegations, which get us to a third UFO hearing in 14 months and our second this year. It's interesting because there have been individuals such as David Fravor and Commander Dietrich, Ryan Graves, and others who have gone on national television. I can remember a CBS News interview based on Mr. Fravor and Mrs. Dietrich's reports on the incidents that they witnessed, Tic Tac. And yet that didn't lead to any sort of congressional hearing. Didn't lead to a briefing, as far as I know of. May have led to some closed-door meetings. So why Mr. Grush? Why all of a sudden after Mr. Grush comes forward do we proceed with another hearing? Let's get to some of the clips from the hearing, including Representative Tim Burchett, who, you know, probably should have presided over the hearing. It was our understanding that he would have, considering he was a part of the committee that had scheduled it. He had made a lot of public statements in regards to it. So he didn't have a lot of time, but he did take advantage of the time that he was given to ask some very pointed questions of the whistleblower, David Grush.
Has the U.S. government become aware of actual evidence of extraterrestrial, otherwise unexplained forms of intelligence? And if so, when do you think this first occurred?
I like to use the term non-human. I don't like to denote origin. Keeps the aperture open, both scientifically. Right. Certainly, like I've discussed publicly previously, 1930s.
Okay. Can you give me the names and titles of the people with direct firsthand knowledge and access to some of this crash retrieval, some of these crash retrieval programs, and maybe which facilities, military bases that would the recovered material would be in? And I know a lot of Congress talked about we're going to go to Area 51 and, you know, and there's nothing there anymore anyway. It's just, you know, and we move like a glacier. And as soon as we announce it, I'm sure the moving vans would pull up, but please.
I can't discuss that publicly, but I did provide that information both to the Intel committees and the Inspector General.
And again, why can't they not release it publicly? We know that there are national security implications. Look, I understand that. I understand that all of this information can't just be presented to us in a closed or in an open setting. It's got to be discussed behind closed doors. However, when are we going to reach the point where somebody who does have the access to that is able to at least give us a summary of those events? Say, hey, look, we can't tell you what actually took place behind closed doors because it's top secret and it's classified. However, we can confirm that much of what is being discussed we have found to actually be the case. Now, I'm no law expert, but I don't know that that necessarily breaks any sort of laws as far as security clearances. I think you can talk generally. Certainly, we don't. We know that they can't spill the beans and refer to specific documents and certain individuals and certain dates and locations, but generally, they should be able to. David Fravor, who I saw in McMinnville, Oregon a couple of years ago at McMinniman's UFO Fest, man, the guy is is lightning quick. He's incredibly smart. Good pilot as well, from what I understand. Well known for the encounter of the Tic Tac. He talked about some of his concerns that there is nobody supposedly manning the door to this. There's no oversight, is what he's saying.
What concerns me is that there's no oversight from our elected officials on anything associated with our government processing or working on craft. Believe not from this world. This issue is not a full public disclosure that could undermine national security, but it is about ensuring that our system of checks and balances works across all work done in the government using taxpayer funds. Relative to government programs, even unacknowledged WABE programs have some level of oversight by the appropriate committee members in the House and Senate, and this work that is said to be occurring from whistleblower testimonies should not be exempt.
There absolutely needs to be oversight, and there needs to be someone who is the head of this. I mean, we have seen, I understand these have happened in different committees, through, you know, different offices, different branches. However, there's nobody who's actually taking the lead on this. There's nobody who can answer to this specifically. It seems like there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Ryan Graves, the F-18 pilot who was involved in an incident as well that became public, talking about the government lacking credibility.
The stigma attached to UAP is real and powerful and challenges national security. It silences commercial pilots who fear professional repercussions, discourages witnesses, and is only compounded by recent government claims questioning the credibility of eyewitness testimony. Parts of our government are aware of more about UAP than they let on, but excessive classification practices keep crucial information hidden.
So it's another act of the same play. Nothing's changed here. There's still a cover-up that continues to this day. You heard the whistleblowers talked about how they've been retaliated against. In the case of Mr. Grush, actually denied access to the crash retrieval and reverse engineering program that he says he has evidence exists. Yet even the UAP task force could not get their hands on that.
I was informed in the course of my official duties of a multi-decade UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program, to which I was denied access to those additional read-ons when I requested it.
Okay, if the UAP task force, which turned into AARO, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, cannot get access to that, if Congress cannot get access to that, if they don't have the clearance to get that, what does that tell you? It tells you it's likely something that our government does not have a handle on and does not want to admit that. But actually, I think that's their out here. Because if it was that they couldn't tell us, look, we know that this stuff exists, and we're in possession of it, and we've been causing some of these sightings, we've been carrying out some of these abductions, we've been discrediting individuals, we've been sending the men in black after people, That, my friends, would cause a revolt, or it should cause a revolt, in my opinion. Because at that point, we can't trust anything that they say. So what are they so worried about? If it's not extraterrestrials, it's not another country, just say that. We have no reason to believe that these come as a threat from a species of this world or out of this world. If it really goes above the heads at the top of the food chain in the world government, and a shadow government is indeed behind this, well, there's the out for them. Because not knowing what is going on looks better than we knew, but lied to you about the truth. We know that these could possibly be ours, meaning the U.S. government, the military. They could be a shadow organizations, a private organization that operates in a clandestine fashion, black ops sort of thing, whether or not it is funded somehow, or whether it's all private donations. It's a very interesting possibility that our government may not hold the keys to the vault. It may go higher than them, or that may be just what they want us to believe. Maybe they do have the crashed UFOs. Maybe they do have the alien bodies. We just can't see them. We'll be back.
Into the paranormal.
Our witnesses will testify today that UAPs have posed a serious safety threat, and we must understand this.
My name is Ryan Fobbs Graves, and I'm a former F-18 pilot with a decade of service in the U.S. Navy.
My name is David Charles Grush. I was an intelligence officer for 14 years.
My name is David Fravor. I'm a retired commander in the United States Navy.
I have experience advanced UAP firsthand, and I'm here to voice the concerns of more than 30 commercial aircrew and military veterans who have confided their similar encounters with me.
I was informed in the course of my official duties of a multi-decade UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program.
Looked down a small, saw a white Tic Tac object with a longitudinal axis pointing north-south and moving very abruptly over the water like a ping-pong ball.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA.
There were no rotors, no rotor wash, or any sign of visible control surfaces like wings.
Finally, I'd like to thank these three brave witnesses here. They took an oath. They took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and dadgummit, they're doing it. And we owe them a debt of gratitude.
The truth is far more abnormal than we want to believe. You're headed somewhere between abnormal and paranormal. Into the paranormal.
Isn't that the truth? Sometimes it is far more abnormal than what we would like to believe. That's why we're somewhere between abnormal and paranormal. I said after the last one, I wasn't going to get excited about the next one. And yet when I heard about it, I was excited because I thought it would be different. By the way, if you want to call in with your thoughts. 503-506-0396 in Canada or the United States, 503-506-0396. The conversation got reignited with Mr. Grush's claims to News Nation and to the debrief in the first week of June. Since then, we saw funding return to the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, legislation requiring those with evidence to come forward with the promise that they will not be prosecuted. And then, of course, recently, legislation that's still, I believe, being considered, which would say that the government basically has to disclose this information within 25 years of when certain documents have been created, unless deemed a security risk by the president. And by the way, there will be this review board appointed by the president and approved by Congress, who will have the final say on the material that is reviewed and how it's classified after that review is completed. So again, this is not a transparent process. The fact that this office did not have funding speaks volumes. If you possess technology, materials, evidence, whatever the case happens to be, and you turn it over, and you're not prosecuted, well, we also then have nothing on the government. If we hand everything over, they are then in possession of it, and they can destroy it. They can deny that it is in their possession, much like they have denied and denied and denied about what is in their possession from some of these UFO crashes and retrievals. They'll just deny that they've been handed over any evidence. And releasing documents within 25 years, I mean, it's a stall tactic. There's no reason that if it is deemed not a national security threat, that it couldn't be released tomorrow. But it's bureaucracy. Well, we have to look like we're that like there's an official process, and we have to make it look like there's something happened, that something happens to that information in 25 years, that it goes through an extensive process, blah, 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 blah. And then here it is. Well, that's not to say that it's going to be fully public. We expect it'll be redacted, of course. A lot of it will be crossed out. I mean, that's what our UFO history tells us. And this is nothing different. Our UFO history tells us that there's been a cover-up for many, many decades. And that we will go to whatever lengths necessary to ensure that it stays that way. And again, they're the gatekeepers. There's no transparency. The people don't have the say. I mean, yeah, we elect these individuals. But have you ever heard the analogy, wish in one hand, spit in the other, and see what gets filled first, or hope in one hand, whatever. It's that same thing. I think it's a disgusting thing to do, but if I sat here and I spit into my hand every single night on the program, it would fill up in not too long of time. And in the other hand would be all this hope, would be this wishing and praying that something's going to happen in my lifetime. But all the 25 years thing does is gets kicked down the curb. And it's by design. It is absolutely by design. Look, we're not saying that all of these are alien spacecraft. In fact, probably only a small percentage of them are, if extraterrestrials really, truly exist. So it leaves the possibilities on the table that these are ours or they're in other countries. Or there's just people who like to go put lights on drones and scare people, freak people out, cause a spectacle. There's all of that. There's not just one explanation. It's not, oh, I saw lights up there, I saw craft, that's an alien spacecraft. There are some who believe that, that everything is an alien spacecraft. And I highly advise you to walk away from those people. Then there's the individuals who say, yeah, there's not a single thing that is an extraterrestrial spacecraft that has ever once been spotted or crashed. Run away from that person. Because they have absolutely nothing to base that on. Just because there is not evidence for something doesn't mean that's evidence against something. And do you think that something this secretive, when they've gone to so many lengths to keep this information from us, that they would even allow part of it to get out there? No, I don't think they would. I think they've been caught in, I know they've been caught in many lies over the decades, because I've read enough to know that. But let's be honest here. It's a charade. It's an absolute 100% charade. It's a dog and pony show. And what's going on in front of the curtain is trying to cover for what's going on behind the curtain. But no matter what these are, we deserve to know. We deserve to know what these are, and we can handle the truth. Ryan Graves talked about, you know, them being a flight safety concern. And even if you take out all other possibilities that they could even be extraterrestrial, let's at least investigate that.
If UAP are foreign drones, it is an urgent national security problem. If it is something else, it is an issue for science. In either case, unidentified objects are a concern for flight safety. The American people deserve to know what is happening in our skies. It is long overdue.
I agree. We deserve to know. It is long overdue. As Representative Burchett says, we're done with the cover-up. Well, then let's get our act in order here. If we're done with the cover-up, then let's continue to have these proceedings. Let's continue to bring in individuals, not just pilots, experiencers, those who have seen this from the ground, those who have seen it up close, those who may have touched some of these biological entities, come in contact with some of this technology. They are out there, but they are dying off. And that is the goal here. That is the goal. If you speak too much about this, we'll poison you. We'll take you out. We'll try to silence you. We hope you will die and go away, and with you will go that knowledge. We even saw that in the hearing this week where Representative Burchett said, look, we are hearing from witnesses who were saying they are being contacted by the Pentagon and told, do not testify in front of the committee. organizations that grant security clearances to government employees and contractors are saying, look, there will be retaliation if you do so. So what? These have to be retired individuals who aren't willing to risk their career and their pension. And even then, their pension's not safe. It can be messed with. They can miss a payment or two. It can be late. They can cause hell within one's life and within their family's lives because they're getting too close to the truth and they've said too much. It's because of this treatment. It's because of the cover-up why people have to blow the whistle like David Grush.
I became a whistleblower through a PPD-19 urgent concern filing in May 2022 with the Intelligence Community Inspector General. Following concerning reports from multiple esteemed and credentialed current and former military and intelligence community individuals that the U.S. government is operating with secrecy above congressional oversight with regards to UAPs.
Very, very interesting. David Grush isn't the only to say that. Dr. Stephen Greer had made that point as well during his National Press Club Disclosure Project event last month. Marco Rubio had actually alluded to this as well, basically saying that craft retrieval programs are being run by an internal military complex that is accountable to no one. At least somebody's saying that in 2023, and more than a couple of somebodies are saying that. And if that's the case, we've got to go after it. As far as I'm concerned, we should spend less time interrogating witnesses, worried about lights in the sky, and we should do what our agencies in this country have been hired to do, and that is investigate criminal acts. I believe it to be criminal to be operating without oversight, illegally, and conducting experiments that have the kinds of experiments that have been conducted on people who didn't say it was okay. It's time to end the cover-up. But how many people involved in the UAP hearing have been plants? How many of them are involved in this psychological operation? How many of them are disinformation agents? I don't have the answer to that question, but I suspect it is more than one. As always, keep your eyes to the sky, keep your ear to the ground or on the pillow, but keep listening to Into the Paranormal, somewhere between abnormal and paranormal. I'm Jeremy Scott from the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon, somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest. Good night. God bless.